You are listening to the Bloomberg Advantage, Carol Masser, along with Corey Johnson and our own Ed Hammond, strolling into our Bloomberg 1130 studio. He's had a busy weekend dealing with deal flow, of course, the arm holding.
We'll call it
deal.
Busy 2 weeks. He was out here in San Francisco, a wedding he still won't tell us about.
Yeah. Stay tuned for that one.
I keep telling you, it's got to be post-Watershed. I can't talk about it.
And a meal that he will tell. Well, then tell us about your lunch.
Lunch is.
At Four Seasons.
I know. I feel like I spent half my life there in the past kind of couple of months.
Are you serious? Really?
Yeah, I was there a lot. I mean, I figured it was something where I really wanted to embed for a few weeks. And my message to all young aspiring journalists is if you can get paid to spend a long period of time in a bar,
boss,
do it.
Hey, I've got this task. Somebody's got to do it. And I'm really sorry, but you got to go eat.
And it's very clearly M&A reporter should be covering a restaurant story for us.
I think so. I think, it's the right person to do it. And there's a lot of M&A professionals who obviously drink and eat in there. So there were all kinds of benefits for me being in there.
Set the stage for those of us who, live and work in New York. We know Four Seasons. A lot of us have been to lunches there. But set the scene for us.
Well, crucially, have you ever been in the pool?
I have not been in the pool.
Wow, see,
I have walked by it. Have not put my toes in there.
So I think I'm always quite wary of using these statements that get made far too often. But with the Four Seasons, it really does feel like the end of an era. I mean, this is an institution. It has been there a very, very long time, since 1957. And it has attracted a crowd kind of like no other in New York. I mean, just consistently the very, very most powerful people in the city, whether that's in finance, whether it's in the arts, whether it's in politics. And it's done it over a long period of time and continued to do it really right up until the end. And, you would be in there a few days before it closed down. You had Henry Kissinger having his lunch somewhere. You had Pete Peterson. You had Steve Schwarzman. They all continued to go there, and it continued to have this draw. And I think it's going to be very, very difficult for anyone to replace that.
I'm really upset with myself for never having set foot in this place that I've wanted to go since I was in college, and I just never made it. What was it like to be in there? I mean, did it feel like a rundown place from the 50s? Did it feel like somewhere was just, I don't know, like, what was the place like?
I suppose that the easiest way to kind of characterize it is it's sort of big power in repose. I mean, it was where you got to see, if you were, someone who was interested in that, is where you could go and see these huge sort of hitters from the various scenes that they came from, kind of relaxing and having lunch. And not only that, but having lunch somewhere where they were very familiar and they were very comfortable, where everyone knew them, where they felt they could be themselves. So it had this completely different sense to most restaurants you would go into, because it wasn't people going there and being like, this is an expensive restaurant and we're showing off. It was essentially a canteen for these very, very powerful people.
And where they could feel secure, right, about meeting other people.
Where they could feel themselves, and where they had been going sort of day in, day out for years and years and years in lots of their cases. And I think that created a much more interesting atmosphere than if you had just gone to, one of the other top restaurants in New York, where you might occasionally have an A-list celebrity, but it's sort of a big deal in itself that they're there.
The ending, too, was kind of fun, right?
The ending was a lot of fun. And the ending, the ending dragged on for a few days because there was sort of, people coming in and out to see it for the last time, take pictures, have their picture taken in the bar. But there was a party late last week, which was kind of the official ending, if you like, where anyone who had ever come there turned up and, said goodbye. And it was a lot of fun. Obviously, it got slightly raucous towards the end with lots of people in the pool and various people falling over in the pool. But drinks were served? Yes, exactly. But I think, it was a fitting note to what has been a sort of, a place primarily of fun and enjoyment over a very long period of time.
A lot of media types went there too, didn't they?
Oh yeah, yeah,
tons.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's so interesting is it attracted people from really across the spectrum. So you had a lot of media types, you had a lot of literary types. So a lot of famous sort of book deals, I think, were done or discussed there.
Yeah.
You had some more kind of classic celebrities. Obviously, we mentioned Madonna in the pieces, having been there. I think every sitting president, going back to when it opened, had also had lunch at least once there, and in some cases many times. And then you had all of these, these sort of classic New York heavy hitters like Steve Schwarzman and people like that, who just went there all the time. And for them, it was their kind of local cafe.
Did you dip your toes in the pool?
I dipped one foot in the pool for all of about 5 seconds, really just to see what the temperature was like and experience it. I didn't go fully into the pool because I figured that, you know, there's a point at which the journalist should not cross over and go from sort of observer to participant. But I did see lots of other people go in the pool, and I got splashed a lot.
Got splashed a lot.
Oh, my God. Did you shoot some of this stuff? I looked in your story online. You didn't have any of those pictures of people in the pool.
I have my own pictures on my phone, Corey, which I will happily show you when I'm next in San
Along Francisco. With those wedding pictures.
Along with the wedding pictures and the full conversation about it. We can do that. We have a drink in the diary.
It's interesting that we talk about errors and we talk about disruption here, right, of just industries being disrupted. But it is kind of an end of an era in terms of where people met. Yep. And there'll be new places, but...
There will. And look, the Four Seasons is going to come back. The owners, Julia Nicolini and Alex von Bitter, they actually own the right to the name, and they are going to reopen it just across the street on Park Avenue at 280. And that will probably
What will happen with that space in the Seagram's building?
Well, so that space is all landmarked, and everything in the interior sort of that's not nailed down is being preserved, and it's being handed over to a new, younger generation of people to run the restaurant. And I think they're going to keep some of the things the same, but it's going to be, you know, a completely different space, and crucially, a completely different crowd. And I think, you know, as the piece tries to get into, it's the crowd that sort of makes the Four Seasons.
Did we say why it had to go away?
A lot has been written about that. So it's essentially the owner of the building, A.B. Rosen, he didn't renew the lease. I mean, he kind of, you know, for want of a better way of putting it, kind of kicked,
well-known
kicked
them
out.
Well-known real estate
yeah. guy. And look, there had been sort of a long-standing and probably worsening conflict between him and the owners of the Four Seasons, because they just had difference of opinions about how to run the restaurant and what kind of space they wanted. And I think he's characterized it as it was this necessary thing and it had to happen. You know, you have to modernize, you have to, you know, create new opportunities in new spaces, etc. But it's also been seen more negatively as, you know, it was just ego on his part. He wanted to kick them out and show he was the bigger, tougher guy.
Were they not paying the rent?
I think they were paying the rent. I mean, it's a very successful venture.
Yeah.
It was full most days. So I think they were paying the rent. I don't think there was a problem with kind of the rent being increased and then refusing to meet a higher rent check. I think it was just that he wanted, you know, he wanted new owners in. As I say, he's characterized it like, look, the space stays the same, but this is New York. We need to refresh things. We need to keep things updated and modern. And this was an old-fashioned restaurant doing old-fashioned food for an old-fashioned crowd.
What did you eat, speaking of old-fashioned food?
Yeah.
What did I not eat? I seem to have eaten almost everything on their menu.
Were you there, like, every other day? Like, how did you do this story?
I would say I was in the bar most nights for the past 3 or 4 weeks. Obviously, my trip to San Francisco breaking it up slightly. So I spent a lot of time at the bar and a lot of time in the restaurant in the daytime, you know, either eating or sort of hanging out and talking to people. And the thing that worked was actually after being there enough and being seen in there enough, people recognize you and they come up to talk to you and they want to know what you're doing. And because you have this very regular crowd, it's the same faces are showing up sort of day in, day out. And the staff were great. I mean, that's something I really want to get across in the piece, is the staff were so friendly and so easy to talk to and so open about their own experiences of disclosure and what for them must be like a brutally tough experience, because a lot of them have been there for, you know, 20, 30, 45 years in some cases. So their sort of, you know, their whole livelihood is changing. Their place of work for, you know, for a lot of them, their entire careers is now gone.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to go and find new jobs. And even if they get taken on at the new Four Seasons in a year's time, they still have to find something to do for the next year.
But again, the my question is sort of about how much more updated it would need to be. I mean, the reason I ask about the food is I wonder if you were eating food that was, you know, beef Wellington or something that was all the rage in the Don Draper era, but not really happening and pulling it now.
Well, I think they hadn't changed the menu a huge amount over the years, and that was one of the criticism. And look, wonderful as the Four Seasons was, I think the food was sort of very much in that sort of culinary middle ground, if you like, of which New York has acres and acres. So I don't think the food was anything amazing, but it was good and it was fresh, and they changed it obviously every season to sort of reflect new, you know, new dishes or dishes that were in season. And it was, I mean, it was, you know, very good steak, very good salads, the fish was always excellent there, but it wasn't the kind of place, Corey, where you would go and you would come out saying, wow, that was the most exciting and innovative food I've had this year.
Tough work, but
the bar was excellent.
Tough work, but somebody had to do it, and our
Aren't
own Ed
all?
Hammond did. All right, Ed Hammond at Bloomberg News. Check out his story at Bloomberg.com. Last service at the Four Seasons. It's a great read. Ed, thank you so much.